This call is being recorded.
We're going right back to the sweet book of the Revelation, chapter 12. And we started last week on talking about Jesus is faithful, and so should we be faithful. This would be part 3. You know, you really could teach the whole Bible showing the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when you're looking in the New Testament. And since this is part 3, I'm not going to give you a full review of everything that I've said thus far. You can say thank you, Jesus. But one thing I do want you to look at this 12th chapter in another respect today. I want you to consider chapter 12 of the book of the Revelation, in some ways, the whole Bible in a concentrated form. I've went through some of the chapters and some of the places that you can see things that are in the book of the Revelation. Even this chapter, and I went back to Genesis. Correct? I know that I did. In this particular chapter, we're going to talk about the fall of Satan being cast out. We're going to talk about the dragon. And we've talked about Eve and the mother of all kind. And we've talked about, and we'll talk about more, of God's triumph through his Son, and by extension, through us. If you can go back from the beginning of time to God's triumph and not understand that the whole Bible, in some sense, the plan of salvation, the fall, the problem with that, when people talk about the problem of evil, if you can't see that this is in this 12th chapter, then what is happening is you're reading this chapter many times as if it just popped up on the scene with no connections. So I'm going to try to do my best for those that see the Bible like that to, as they call it, disabuse. Can't think of another word for that. Rid you of, how about that, of that kind of thought. We're going to go back to chapter 12. On Thursday, what we did, we highlighted the woman and the child. And if you remember, let me read it, and then I'll go back and highlight what I've said. Verse 5 of chapter 12 says, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." I emphasized on Thursday that the woman starts out when we see Eve. I don't do like some people and say Mother Earth. Start out with Eve. And it goes down typically through different applications. I'm not going to say different fulfillments. Fulfillment means something to me. Different types. The Bible has a pretty word for it. Shadows. Did I hear you just say that? Shadows. There's a song that uses a term and says, "Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." And when I did that, I talked about Eve. I could tell you about Jael, because she was one that helped bring forth or destroy the head of a man. Someone said, might say that, well, I thought it was the son. Understand, it's the woman and her seed that God made enmity between. But I also wanted to show, and I didn't go to Matthew because we've taught the book of Matthew. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth. The Bible showed that seed, since we realize according to Galatians 3 and 16, that when God promised Abraham a seed, that seed is still the seed of the woman Where did you get that from, Tim? Glad you asked. There is no Abraham if there is no Eve. Eve is the mother of us all. Acts chapter 17:26, it says, by one blood, he made all. Bless his everlasting name. If you want to write that down, that's Acts 17:26, but that's the discussion on Mars Hill. So now we see that the woman brought forth a child, and that child was to rule. I'm not going to go to it. I've done it enough, but this is reiteration for your mind. According to Hebrews chapter 1, God made Christ heir of all things. That means Israel is not the heir. The Hebrew people are not the heir. The Gentile people are not the heir. The church is not the heir. Not by themselves. They only get to become an heir as they become with the one that is the heir. It's important to understand that, because many philosophies, many religions will come up and they will claim, and many people will claim to be Jews or Hebrews, and they will say that their ethnic group is the heir of Palestine and the land. Well, let me tell you one thing and make sure you understand this completely. The land is not what you want. What you should want is a child of God to be possessor of the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is going to rule the whole world. When Abraham was promised and his seed was promised a land, that was earnest. That was a deposit of that which was to come. It was a foretaste of glory divine. The book of Romans, chapter 4, talks about Abraham being heir of the world. Now listen to what the Bible says, because we're talking about the mother. I'm going to go ahead and read back in Revelation, because we're going to move quickly till we get to the juicy part that you're waiting to get to, the devil, the dragon, and the seed. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, and to devour her child as soon as it were born. And she brought forth a man who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and the child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Let's deal with the first part again. God being faithful. God being faithful through Christ. In Genesis 3:15, God promises that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. God also said that he would put enmity between the serpent and the woman, and her seed and his seed, which is already prophetic for a woman to have seed. But I want you to look at the woman. When the Bible said the woman was ready to deliver, since we said that the child that was delivered is the Christ, and by extension, those that are in him. Because most of what we're going to be talking about in the 12th chapter is dealing with Christ, but it's dealing with those who follow him because they're in him. A lot of chapter 12 is dealing with them. That's why you see she has to go to the wilderness to be prepared. That's why you see the woman is being attacked. We're not seeing Eve being attacked. We are seeing those that represent Eve insofar as the fulfillment being attacked. We're also seeing those that are the seed being attacked. So in order to make that valid, at least to help you in your mind see the depth and the beauty and the cohesiveness and the entanglement of the scriptures with each other, let's let Paul explain some of this sweet stuff in the Word of God. Now I want you to go to Galatians chapter 4. Verse 22, I'm going to just tell you that God told Abraham in the 12th chapter that through his seed, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, he told Abraham the same thing. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, he told him the same thing. And in the 18th verse, that his seed would possess the gates of his enemies. I've already told you the Galatians 3 and 16 that Paul said the seed was singular, which is Christ. But listen to what we see in Galatians 4 and 22.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman.
Mm-hmm.
But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise.
God had promised Abraham a seed by promise. Eve was promised a seed by promise. Do you remember when she had her first son, Cain? She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She remembered the promise. He was not the seed of the promise insofar as the one that would be able to crush the head of the serpent. That's more than what I want to go into about the sons of Eve, but there was one that was a righteous one. He was called a prophet by Jesus, and he was killed by Cain, and God gave her another son, Seth, in the stead of Abel. That's what she said, okay? Read on, Anne, please.
Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage.
I need you to get this in your mind. If you read this as they call it literally, some people think literally mean whatever it says, you go to look up the word and whatever that, I don't know another word for denotative. So like for instance, I'll give you an illustration of denotative or something that denotes. I can say cat. You should be thinking of an animal with four legs, whiskers, ears, that moves kind of swiftly and they're kind of sneaky. But you can also see somebody call a man a cat. Man, that cat right there, something wrong with him. Okay? Or sometimes, you know, you just have different ways you call. One is denotative, the cat, which is a feline. The other one is figurative. What he is saying here is that even the pictures that you see that were literal. There was a Hagar. There was a Sarah. There was an Abraham. But Paul is saying that the message of what their lives show, the one that followed God, is an allegory, is for you to get a message from it. How dare Paul say something like that? But remember, Paul said he was taught by the Lord. Jesus opened the scriptures to his people in Luke chapter what? Come on now. 24. Where does it start? 24 through 42.
Okay.
Always remember, when you start reading the New Testament, if it seems like it disagrees with the old, remember this. The scriptures were opened. For free, I'll give you 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 and 18. I remember when Martine was here, Anne and her were discussing when Israel, or the people that did not have the explanation of the scriptures, when they read Moses, a veil is still over their eyes, and that veil is removed with who? Christ. Now, if you don't understand what I mean when I say that there's a veil over their face when they read Moses, and you say, well, Moses only wrote the first five books of the Bible. Technically, you're right. but you're not completely right. If you really read the prophets in the writings, you will see that they will be recapitulating. They'll be going back and say what Moses said. They're not coming up with something new. As a matter of fact, I got some notes saved in my lesson for the day that I might not get to, but I will tell you this, that the witness that Jesus went to, he said, I got a witness. I can't even be a witness to myself because it takes a word of two or three witnesses. But he goes on and gives them some witnesses and says, and Moses, whom you say you believe, if you had believed him, you'd have believed me because he wrote of me. So what I'm saying is here, when Paul uses this illustration of Mount Sinai, Hagar, Jerusalem, and Sarah, this is because it's been open to him. So we shouldn't read the Bible with blinders on that Paul doesn't know what he's doing. We should read this to understand that what Paul is saying should coincide with what John is saying if we're talking about the same subject. Fair enough? Go back to the allegory in verse 24, please, Precious. Okay.
This is allegorically speaking. For these women are two covenants.
Do you understand? He's setting you up to understand the allegory. A woman's not a covenant. But he said, these two women. He's telling you how to understand it. Okay, go ahead, Precious.
One proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar.
And so when King James says the one in Mount Sinai which gendereth, that word gendereth means to be the mother. Do you see how that version bear it out? Read some more, Anne.
Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem. For she is in slavery with her children.
There is a Jerusalem that's a mother. And at the time that this was written, Paul said they were in slavery. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. He just said that. Mm-hmm. But if you remember John chapter 8, when Jesus told them, if you continue my word, that's 8:31 and 32, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they said, we ain't been slaves to no man. Never been in bondage. Do you see how the Bible is intertwined? Jesus is telling them, I know you're in bondage, but you got a veil over your eyes. You don't even understand that you're in bondage. You like that, Rich? And that's what he said. All right, go ahead in verse 25, please.
25.
Yes, ma'am.
Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem. For she is in slavery with her children.
Read 26. This is very pretty.
But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother.
Now, when you see she is our mother, your King James will say the mother of us all. Let's go back to Revelation where we were walking. In Revelation chapter 12, I worked on verse 5 on a Thursday. Now I want you to look and see what the Bible is saying in the first and second verse of chapter 12. And there was a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. You can go to Genesis 37 and be waiting on me, Anne. Revelation 12 and 1. I alluded to what we talked about on Thursday. I'm having Anne to go and be waiting on me in Genesis 37 and 1. We're going to deal with Joseph's dream. It says, and there appeared a great one in heaven, and that'd be the first verse, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head 12 stars, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Let's come down to the fourth verse. because I've read the third before, so I'm expediting time. When the dragon drew a third part of the stars and cast them to the earth, the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered. I'm saying that the woman that is to be delivered, to have the child, is Jerusalem. Jerusalem, there was a Jerusalem that's in bondage. It corresponds to the Jerusalem that's in heaven. I shouldn't have to read to you all where that, where else that is found in the scripture. When I say Hebrews, what chapter are you going to think about? 12. Starting at what verse? 22. 1, 2, 2, 2. Okay? 12, 22. And it tells you about a Jerusalem that's above. And it tells you about the heavenly Mount Zion. So the mother that has children. So remember when I told you on Thursday that the child is Christ, but by extension, it is us as well. Understand that the woman that Paul said that is a mother is a Jerusalem that is over all, and at this particular time, Christ had already ascended. Now let's go backwards, and I had her to go, so I'm going to stay with Galatians 4 because I want her to stay in Genesis. Listen, she's in Genesis 37. I'm just going to roll back and read something to you in Galatians 4, because Galatians 4 is very pertinent to understanding the woman. In 4 and 4 it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. This is how you get to be a son. Feel this one. And because ye are son, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Listen, this is beautiful right here. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's how you get to be an heir. That's how the Hebrew people would get to be an heir. That's how the church would get to be an heir, is it's through Christ. Because Christ, everything belongs to him. We talked about it on Thursday. I believe it was Psalms 2 and 8. Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. Didn't he say it? Therefore, the inheritance is his. We get to be a co-heir with Christ. You don't get to be a co-heir with none of the so-called prophets of the world, none of the so-called apostles of the world, none of the religious leaders of the world. I won't even call their wicked, ungodly name right now. I'll just say that it's through Christ. But this woman is clothed with the sun and the moon. I want Anne to read in the 37th chapter of Genesis to give you a picture of what's going on in that. I started verse 1 where, actually you can start at 2, where Jacob had loved his son Joseph more than the other ones. What does it say, precious?
These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors.
He made Joseph a coat or a robe that many say meant that he was going to be one in authority. What we are reading this particular scripture for is this reason. To understand why this woman is being attacked. Not just because she is representing Eve, but because she not only is going to represent Eve, but she's representing the one that's going to rule the world, the one that's going to take back dominion from Satan. Man had abdicated and gave up his authority to have dominion by being under Satan. Without being theologically deep, I'm not going to be theologically incorrect, The Bible said, to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether it's sin unto death. That's Romans 6:16. If Adam would have kept obeying God, Satan would have had no power. But he yielded himself to make himself the slave of Satan. And by extension, Romans 6:23, he got the pay that God had promised. Okay, so this Satan, this dragon, does not want the woman or her seed to rule. This dream of Joseph is going to let you see that the seed that came through Sarah, Eve, etc., is going to be in a position to rule just like Adam was. And so the sun, the moon, and the stars is going to mean something in the scripture. So instead of us looking for zodiacs, I mean, now you can see some things in the Masoret. But I'm not going to teach that right now. Well, I'm going to go to the one that we can see clearly. It's going to show in that dream that rulership and authority and dominion is going to also be in that family. And Satan knows it and would want it to be destroyed. And so the Revelation is alluding back to that so that you can see the importance of the woman and her seed. Do you like the Bible? Read it, Ann.
And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf.
My sheaf got up, and all you alls got, and it bowed down. And that's the first time. Now, we were to go to chapter 41 where Joseph interprets the dream for Pharaoh. He'll give you the key. I'm not going to read it. But the key that he told Pharaoh, Pharaoh had two dreams. He had a dream about fat calves or cows, and he had a dream about corn. And what Joseph told him is the dream is doubled to let you know that it's sure. This dream is doubled in another way to let you know that it's sure. Read the next one.
And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us?
Absolutely. Reasonable.
Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?
Notice the words. Notice the understanding. Shall you indeed rule? Shall you indeed have dominion? Do you know that those two words are like the same thing? Ruling, but then dominating. We already hate you. And now you're going to tell us you're going to rule? Do you understand something? I want you to understand something. And I'm gonna say it before I lose my thought. Their brother was acting like the seed of the serpent, and they're gonna try to kill him because it is known that God is gonna let him rule over them and have dominion. And they're gonna try to stop it before it could ever be. And they're gonna do everything. They're gonna kill Joseph in a like manner. They're gonna throw him beneath the earth in a pit. And as far as they're concerned, as good as dead, but one of them comes and let's sell him. And Joseph's humiliation lasted and lasted until the fullness of the time came and God elevated him to the position of authority. It's a lot in that we just don't taste yet. Finish reading that about the second dream.
And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words.
Notice this, for the dreams given by God and for the words that he spoke. Read some more.
And he dreamed yet another dream.
Here come God again. Do you realize Joseph is not making himself have these dreams? This is God. Read some more.
And told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me.
That means really nothing to me that much except they bowed down. But let's let the daddy explain it. Read some more.
And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brother indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth to thee?
Now his daddy rebuked him. Your daddy rebuked him for what he said. Does that change the plan of God? The Bible said, let God be and every man be a. Does that include Israel? All right. His daddy rebuked him for the dream, but his daddy explained it. Let Ann read it one more time where his daddy rebuked him.
What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth, bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?
Mm.
And his brethren envy him, but his father observed the saying.
The father observed the saying, although he rebuked him. I don't know if he rebuked him for telling his brethren, because you're 17. That's got to be excitement. But, you know, you excited you're going to rule over me?
Yes.
I didn't get to rule over Isaac. I deceived him. Isaac didn't get to rule over his daddy. He offered him every sacrifice. You going to rule over me? Well, we all that have finished reading the scripture of Genesis, we know what happened. I'm going to tie this together so that you can understand the woman with the moon and the stars, and go to Genesis 1 and 14. I'm telling you, you don't understand Revelation if you don't understand the writings that come before it. What does Genesis 1 and 14 say?
And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night.
Okay, at that phrase, let there be lights in the heavens to divide so that there be no confusion about day and night, so that there'll be a clear distinction. People that don't love God don't like distinction whenever it puts them in the position of being shown up to be who they are. God said, let there be a division between day and night. It has nothing to do with what we think is out of man's control. Read some more.
And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.
I've appointed the light to rule. I've appointed the lights to be signs. I've appointed the lights to also show when there are certain set days of things that will be. When the fullness of the time come, God sent forth his son, and he sent a star. And was that child a sign? Yes, he was. Was that child going to rule? Yes. The 11 stars, the sun and the moon, rules the heavens. Am I correct? And it separates. Read some more, because I'm going to let her read the 16th verse, and then I'll speak some more after she do the 15 and 16. Do 15 and 16.
And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so.
Mm-hmm.
And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also.
God made light so that there would be light on the earth so that it would dispel the darkness. What does Jesus call his disciples? You are the light of the world. Jesus said, I must walk while there's light, because when nighttime comes, no man can walk. John 8 and 12, Jesus says he's the light of the world. The light is the very ruling thing that God has set up. He made the celestial, and what he did was, by extension, we could call it an allegory. Joseph knew, his daddy knew, before his daddy explained it, Joseph knew what it meant. He was excited about it. His brothers knew what it meant, and his daddy explained it. The light. You don't think that the serpent knew why God put the lights into heaven, why he made the stars, the moon, and whatever it all, we're going to talk about the celestial things. He also knew that what God was doing on the earth, he was making Abraham and his family to be the lights to rule and to govern and to dominate the world. How do you know that, Tim? Because all of the nations served other gods, and God chose out one to be his nation. That's the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy in what verse? 7 and 8. They were the rule. So when you see a woman clothed with the sun and the moon and the stars, this woman is the one that's dominating. This woman is in a position of authority, and she's going to bring forth the child. Understand, Israel was in that place. Remember, the sun, the moon, and the stars was tied to that family. Before that family ever got to be big enough in Goshen to go into the promised land, the sun, the moon, and the star was in that little area, and they are the only ones that had the access to God for all nations of the world to be blessed. Notice how I qualified it. Did you notice how I qualified that? That little family was the only one that a person could go through to have access to God. It didn't mean that God didn't have any other God-fearers anywhere else. But the covenant to bless all the families of the earth was given to Abraham. God had narrowed it down out of all of the people, all of the tribes of the earth. So therefore, the woman, Israel. I'm deviating from my notes because I can truncate it. And go to 5:2 Micah, where you and I were talking the other day. Israel. Jerusalem that was on the earth was in bondage, but there's a corresponding Jerusalem that's from above. What does it say in Micah 5 and 2?
But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Do you see that? Do you see that? I have shown you that the sun, the moon, and the stars represent ruling, dominion, showing light to the world, to divide light from darkness, to have dominion. The woman had all of that as her robe. Israel had that as her robe. But out of Israel is one to come, a son that was going to rule. Out of the small nations. It had narrowed down from all the tribe to Judah. And out of that Judah, that woman would come the one that would rule. And from the one that would rule, by extension, those that are in him, we get to rule with him. So when you read Revelation 12 and you see the woman, this is not some kind of economic system. This is not some kind of thing that's going to come in the future. This is Israel in the past. This is Eve in the past. It's everyone that God was using to bring forth his son. This is the one that had the light. This is the one that was trusting in him. And by trusting in him, they were in the position of authority. Why? Because just like the sun, the moon, and the stars are set for all of that, it's controlled by God. If God didn't make the sun do stuff with light and make the moon, make the tides, it would just be a moon. When God gives his authority to a human, it won't matter what the rest of the universe look like. They have just as much authority as the sun, the moon, and the stars. I'm going to explain this and we're going to move on. The sun, it don't make anything happen that God doesn't want to happen. It doesn't have its own agenda. The moon doesn't have its own agenda. It's invested with the power that God has. What are you looking for?
Psalm
19, heaven declare the glory of God, and the firmament show its attending work, day unto day, utter speech, night unto night. Yes. And the Lord set it up. It's the same thing with Israel. Moses had told them one time, don't think because you were good, God has elevated you. You were the least of all the people. You weren't big. You weren't big. And Moses told them one time, you've been rebellious ever since I knew you. Yeah, go ahead and finish reading that in Micah.
Let me start on.
In Micah 5 and 2.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel.
And read that last verse right there for me, because this is real pretty.
And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord.
Now I want you to think about this. When the woman goes in the wilderness, she's going to have something prepared by the Lord. This is not new. And I think that you all will have already known this was Israel and this is the woman. But I wanted you to see how we come to that. I wanted you all to see the authority, and this is why she's attacked by Satan. It's not just that she's the woman. It's not just that she's going to have a child. But what does she represent? What does the child represent? Rulership, dominion, and authority. And Satan was proud of that. He offered it to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4. You see, Adam had it. Jesus, as the Son of Man, was going to get it as man. Do you feel me? Mm-hmm. He already had it before. Mm-hmm. He had never had it as man. This is what it was all about, is for Satan to keep that. When God has conveyed it to the woman, if I can stop her from bringing forth the seed, if I can stop her from doing what she's supposed to do, if I can corrupt the seed, if I can make them, let me tell you what corrupting the seed means. Instead of being true Israelites, if I can make you start serving Baal, you are no longer a prince with God. If I can make you serve Moloch, you are no longer a prince of God. If I can make you follow Beelzebub, because you become the children of whom you obey. Where do I get that from? What do we get in John 8 and 44? Jesus said, you are of your father who? Satan is not stupid. And so the woman being with child travailed in birth and pain to be delivered. Throughout Israel, we see that often they would not hold on to God. And the Bible said we were going to bring forth, and we brought forth when? No baby, no child. Then the Bible says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. The last time that I remember that we dealt with something that was red, does anybody remember the last thing that we dealt with in the book of Revelation that was red? Red horse. And with that red horse, there was war. There was calamity. In other words, there was carnage. Now, it doesn't mean that these two things have to fit. But it is something to think about when you look at what the dragon is up to. The dragon is acting like he's at war, just like the red horse represented. Okay, there appeared another wonder in heaven. Now I want you to tell me this. When you think about Revelation chapter 1, and it tells you that these things are signified, I want to know, when you think about this, do you start seeing a real woman up in the sky, clothed with the sun, stars, and moon under her feet? If you don't think of that then, do you think of this one? And there appeared a wonder in heaven, a great red dragon. Do you, in your mind, is this what you see? A big red dragon, and sometimes they would use a big crocodile with wings, okay? So however you want to see the dragon, do you see a great red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on the head? Is that what we're going to be dealing with? I mean, we can be. But if we are, if that's exactly what it is, then how is it we don't see the woman? I mean, where do we choose? This one is going to be exactly what it said, denotatively, and we don't see it signified. But when it comes to the woman, well, you know, that was signified, you know. And then what you going to do when a woman ride the beast? Is a woman going to jump up there and ride the beast? I'm in the words of young black people, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. And then it says, and his tail, listen to this, a tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Are we to see that a dragon in heaven, he got a tail so big that we could go to Fernbank, and if they call it, go back and look in time, which I don't believe. But it just said we could right now that tail he draw a third of the stars from heaven and cast them to the land or to the earth. Is there that much room on the earth or the land for a third of the stars to be on it? So now, is the Bible being mythological, or is it being true to what it's saying that is signified? Now, if we use the ability that God allowed Israel to understand what Joseph knew about his dream, what did the stars represent at that time? What did it represent in Genesis chapter 1? Rulership, dominion, authority. That's right. So now you have a dragon pulling a third. So if we know what the Bible is called, the dragon before, the devil, serpent, the evil one, the wicked one, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, the deceiver, etc. And then we realize the Bible says he has a kingdom. Somebody say, I don't know, Satan got a kingdom. Well, he promised Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Well, let's say that doesn't fit your mind. When Jesus cast out demons by the finger of God, I always get it confused. I'm about to lock it in, because Matthew's account, I think, said the Spirit of God, and Luke says the finger of God. They both are the same. Now, if he does it with the finger of God or the Spirit of God, think about this. He said, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. But they said, no, you did it by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. What was Jesus' retort? Does anybody remember what Jesus' retort was? If I go ahead. What was the one I'm looking for, Ann?
But if Satan cast out Satan's kingdom cannot stand.
Both of you all were right, but that's right. His kingdom cannot stand. If Satan didn't have a kingdom, that statement Jesus meant nothing. Satan has a kingdom. You ought to understand that. So he did not want the woman's kingdom or the kingdom of Christ to rule. And that's why he fights. So that we got a dragon and we got Satan's tail pulling some of his ruling authority with him. I think 8 and 29 Matthew, I'm almost positive, Satan's demons, they knew who Jesus was. They did not want them to be thrown into the abyss before the time. There were people that were oppressed by the devil during that time because Satan's activity was high. So the point that I want you all to see just from alluding to these things is not only scary. Somebody go to 1 Timothy 4 and 1. The point that I wanted you all to realize is that Satan has stars or ruling authorities with them. You all are already familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 12. I don't have to read it, where he talk about you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against number, principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual weakness in high places, etc. So we know that he has a ruling body with him. If we know these things, should I now say that, well, when the dragon pulled a third of the stars and they came to the ground, that now it's going to be stars, whereas in other places of the Bible it's not considered stars like that? I trow not. Actually, if you read in the book of Deuteronomy 32, it says they were not worshiping God, they were worshiping demons. Well, the King James would say devils. Did I tell you to read something, precious love?
1 Timothy
4. Yeah, 4 and 1.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
You know, when I would read that before, I was really thinking about the last days when the world ends. But I got a problem with that. And my problem with that is, how is the last days used most of the time in the New Testament? It's used in the New Testament mostly as the end of the age when you would have what they call an earthly political or a geopolitical rule of Israel. I'm not saying that it won't be in the last days. I think as long as men live on the earth and Satan that realizes his time is not long, he's going to fight against us. I believe that's why Satan has murder right now. I believe when someone is murdered, that gives Satan a sense of victory. Did you understand that, Naomi? You gave me a look like, wow. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, he says, when a man kills a man, whether it's a man or an animal, starting around the 4th through the 6th verse, you put that man or that animal to death because he's killed a man because he's in the image of God. If somebody kills Gary today and shoot him in the head and kill him, I don't just want him killed because he's my brother. He didn't say put him to death because he's my brother. He said because he's in the image of God. That's an offense toward God, let alone what it does to us. So Satan, by extension, know that we're in the image of God. That's why the Bible tells you that he's the prince of death. He brought death. Bless his everlasting name. So now let's get back to the dragon, verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven. The area of rulership of the world. Where do I get that from? The area or the spiritual domain of rulership. Why did God put the lights in the firmament? To rule, to divide, to govern.
Is that word wonder, does that mean sign?
Yep.
Okay.
It's the word Simeon, that sign.
Okay.
So if you're following what's going on here, the wonder in heaven, if you think about just looking up in heaven here, you're going to have a problem. Let me show you your problem before I stop. Okay, you're going to draw a third of the stars from heaven. He's going to cast them to the earth. The dragon going to stand before the woman ready to be delivered with child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a child that was a ruling nation with a rod of iron. And take over because I'm mixing my word together. I'm in verse 5, start at verse 6. The ruling nation with a rod of iron is caught up to heaven in the throne. Read 6 for me, Revelation 12.
And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had the place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels.
Notice the devil had angels. Remember I said the stars he pulled with him? So we know we're not dealing with stars. I mean, it's right there in the passage. Read the next part.
And prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven.
No more place either in heaven. Read some more. The ninth verse, because this is where we're going.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
My question would be, if you don't see the dragon up in heaven, if he's cast out of heaven to earth, then maybe we should go back and make the dragon be in heaven.
Okay.
If the dragon is cast out to the earth, if him being cast out to the earth, and some people say the devil was cast down to earth, if that's literal, then if he's cast out, where was he? And if the devil that is cast down to the earth is the dragon with the tail, then are we saying that his demons were cast down to earth too?
Yes.
So now here is the issue. The issue is in the book of Job, where the sons of God come and present themselves to God, and Satan goes and present himself to God, and he said, where you been?
He said, to and fro throughout
the earth. That's right, walking up and down it. So now, are you saying that he wasn't really on the earth then? He was always in heaven? So if that's the case, if the heavens represent ruling of powers and authorities, And we say the dragon was cut down to earth, a cast down to earth. Would we cut down his jest if you cut down the tree and go to the earth? Uh-huh. But the question would be, should we look to see that the devil was cast down to earth, or that he was cast from the position of power and authority? I just want you to think.
Okay.
Now let's go to Luke 10 and 18. I'm sure we're not going to finish this today, but I wanted to get into some of this demonology.
Okay.
Luke chapter 10 and 18, the disciples going to come back to Jesus, and they're very, very happy.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Read the verse above it so that they can see why they were so excited.
And the 70 returned again with joy.
Remember, Jesus didn't only have 12 disciples, but he sent out them out two by two. And they equaled 70, so we know there were 35 pairs. Okay. Now read it again, precious love.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
Even, listen to this. The ruling authorities of the demons, the same Satan that promised you the kingdom of the world in the moments of time, if you bow down, they might not have known that then, but he said the demons are subject to you. What? How is that? How are the demons subject to you if they are in a position of rulership and authority? Now you've got to go back and see what he said. If the strong man of the house is bound, 12th chapter, start around 27th verse of Matthew. If he's bound, then he can be plundered. They come back and say, the demons are subject to us. How?
Through thy name.
Now, my question is, do you see the shift of the power? Do you see the shift being with the son or the child? I've already told you that child by extension are those that follow him. Now read. Now I want you to read that one more time, because I'm going to give you an illustration that the Bible is using.
The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning.
Now, have you ever seen lightning strike the ground? If you get hit by lightning before it hit the ground, what will it do to you? If lightning strikes the ground right there and there's no metal in it, and you go out there 10 seconds later, stand on it, will it do anything to you?
Mm-mm.
Why not? It
has no power.
Why not?
Charges. Yeah.
I saw Satan fall to the ground like lightning. What's your picture? Like it's grounded out.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it. You all say the demons were subject. I saw Satan fall to the ground like lightning. That's why if you look at electrical things where they have... you know, like when we were working, Elijah, and they had the electrical thing to come into the house, that's why they had that, it's a metal pole. It sticks up like this, but it's long. It's so that if lightning strike your electrical line, it goes into the ground. I saw Satan is just like he was shorted out of power. It's pretty. If the Satan is cast to the ground, is it that Satan is being thrown down to the ground and he can do just as much dirt there? Or is it that he has been diffused of his power? Let's look at another one, John 12, 31, where Jesus talks. There's a reason that the dragon wants to destroy the woman and her seed. There's a reason he don't like that sun, the moon, and 11 stars that possess. What does Jesus say in John 12, 31, 32? You might want to read 30, but what does it say?
And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
Did he say in 1,000 years? 2,000. Did he say in 10,000 years?
No.
A million.
Now.
Did he say to 1,000 generations? He says now. Now is.
Before he is lifted up, he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
the power now. The defeat is, what does he say in 33? Because he's telling you that it's a symbol of him being lifted up.
This, what he said, signifying what death he should die.
If I die, Rich, if they kill me, and they are going to, that will be Satan's defeat. And how did he typify it? See, it doesn't matter how I typify it. He says, now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. We don't get to define what cast out is. Let the Bible do it. His position of authority.
Let me go back to Luke.
Okay.
And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you.
Are you all seeing that this is the reason that the dragon hates the woman and hates her seed? We represent God. Do you understand? We represent those stars. The Bible said we shine as lights in the world. I'm going to have to stop because I looked at the time. And we've already gone longer than I wanted to, but I did want to at least taste a little bit of a little touch on it. That the dragon is cast out. If you're thinking that Satan being cast down to the ground is what it's talking about, I understand that. That's what it says. But is that what it's saying? Satan is a spiritual being. What does that, as a spiritual being, does that mean he's still going to be limited? But he can't move through the atmosphere as quickly as other beings. The dragon is going to be very upset with the woman as we move through this chapter. But I'm showing you, Jesus was faithful. Did you hear that last verse she read? I gave you power over the devil. He's faithful. I had it, you'll have it. Faithful. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He defeated Satan through death, according to Hebrews chapter 2, starting at the 9th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, no, 2 verse 6 tell you that if the rulers of this world had known, they wouldn't have killed him. They wouldn't have killed Christ. This picture is showing the position that Israel had. And the position that Israel had as a ruling class for God to bring forth the seed, they abdicated. But as we read further along in this chapter, we're going to find that there was a remnant. And the remnant is the one where the church is born. The remnant is where we come from. The remnant are those that keep his word. The remnant are the ones that's going to be killed. It's not going to finish what he wants. But as we finish this chapter, hopefully Thursday, you will see that the remnant has the ability to be killed and still be victorious. Why? They're following the pattern of their leader. It says they overcame him. Notice, they won. When President Obama was president, he said, we won. I think another time he said, I won. They won. It doesn't sound like it. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, not their blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto the death. But they overcame. And what did he promise if they overcame? Rule with him, to reign with him, to sit in the throne with him, and to become heirs with him. Revelation chapter 12 is not something that you should look at to be so mysterious and you should look at either encouragement, warning, encouragement to be like him, warning, but it should prepare these people for what's getting ready to come. When he continue to write, when he starts talking about the Roman government, when he starts talking about the governments of the world, and how that the religious system of the people that had already attacked them and done things to Paul, did things to him, and all of the prophets start using worldly governments to attack and destroy the seed of the woman. The first attack, major attack, has been done by Satan through the ones that were not the children of God, that were the children in bondage, Jerusalem on the earth. But the Jerusalem that's from above never attacked. We'll talk about it more on Thursday. Hopefully you all can see that this chapter is dealing with something of great significance. It's your whole Bible, showing the whole plan of salvation, the fall, Satan and what he's done, and how God is going to rectify things. And it's about who's going to rule. And God gave the earth to man. And that's why Satan wanted to kill the man child. Because God was going to rule by man, and Satan had usurped the authority over this earth through deception. When the child was born from the people that were the ruling class, spiritually speaking, he wanted to destroy it. We know he tried to do it in Egypt with the firstborn. We know he tried to do it in Bethlehem. But God sent forth his son, and he was faithful. He did not give in. He didn't lose. That's why he was given a kingdom, dominion, and authority that everybody would be under him. Obviously, he's replaced Satan. I don't mean replace Satan as being evil, but he has plundered Satan and took that authority that Satan should never have, and is given back to man. See, when he comes to heaven, he comes as a son of man. He's still God, but he's ruling as man now. And by extension, him being the sacrifice for us, we get to rule with him. And that's why it can say in Romans 16 and 20 that the God of peace will certainly or shortly bruise Satan under your feet. He's been cast down. He's been cast down. When he comes to you, he's grounded out. He has no authority over you. James said, if you resist him, he'll flee from you. That's what the Bible say. We'll stop right here, and we'll go into discussion and talk about it and raise some sand if necessary. But this thing is good, because it's above everything that we look at. Everything that you see, when you see governmental oppression against Christians, against your schools, against what you believe, understand that's the dragon. That's the devil. It's not political. It's always religious. It's always that the devil is going to fight.
Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. And take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life. Take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life.
We don't know how we're going to win, Rich. We don't know if we're going to win by death or life.
Let him who hears say, come.
We don't know if we're going to win by
the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him hear say, come.
Or any other creature, there's none of them
whoever
that can
is
separate
thirsty,
us from the love of God
come.
In Christ Jesus.
Whoever wishes,
and we know
let
the
him
kingdom
come.
Of God is prepared
whoever
for
is hungry, let him come. Whoever is needy, let him
Father,
come.
Father, thank you for your blessed word. I ask you that for us to continue to be faithful. Like you were.
Whoever
and
is
realize
thirsty,
that the
let him
is yours.
Come. Whoever wishes, let
take
him
a sharp
come.
Arrow.
And take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life. Take from the waters of life freely. Take from the waters of life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come.
Well, now be open for this discussion. I'm pretty sure we're going to have some discussion today. All right. I'm trying to provoke some ideas.
Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. And take from the waters of life.
And Joe Piscopo used to do it like this.
From the waters of life. Take from the waters of life,
freely.
Take from the waters of life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever's thirsty, let him come.
Whoever wishes, let him come.